Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're continuing the last show this week on the judgments of God, a very sensitive but very important and critical truth about God revealed to us in Scripture and history of how God relates to His creation, how He relates to His people. In the heart of the week, first of all, I began by just talking about the fact that God's judgments are real things and God's judgments are good. Quoting Isaiah the prophet, there's other scriptures that talk about it, but essentially he summarizes it so beautiful. He said, when the judgments of God are in the land, the inhabitants of the land learn righteousness. God's ultimate goal, God's last resort to help us, either to help subdue and come against wickedness that's rising at such a level that it not only dishonors God profoundly, but it enslaves and it cripples and leads the human race into bondage. And the Lord acts to bring an end to it. And number one and number two, there's the redemptive disciplines of God where God disciplines his people. You can see that even in John's gospel, the beautiful passage in John 15, where Jesus talks about, as the Father loves me, so I love you. It's so wonderful. He said, the Father's the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine. And we're the branches united to the vine. And there's a life that flows through that divine vine of Jesus, of the kingdom life. It flows through Jesus. And those who abide in him live from that vine. And the branch blossoms. And the Lord allows us to have fruitful lives. We see in the lives of the saints, which is just so spectacular. What an opportunity. Sinful, broken people like us, by the grace of God working in us, are saying yes to and agreeing and aligning with him, and his love produces that love in this world. What a gift. But he also says that the Father, our Father, is the vine dresser. He's the one that tends the whole vineyard. And what he does is he cuts off dead branches. That's one way of saying God's judgments, because God will do whatever it takes to awaken people so that they don't keep doubling down on sin and wickedness and die in that condition and be separated from him from all eternity. So even in the case of people who are in the church today, lots of people are leaving the church. Okay, I wish it was different. You probably do too. But there's reasons why. Sometimes the reasons people leave are not good, in the sense of they're not good because the church scandalizes them, you know, like in the whole sexual, you know, sins of the church that are emerging there and that we've seen, and that how poorly it was handled. So some people are genuinely scandalized. And that does cause people to doubt, to turn away. And that's really unfortunate. And hopefully God will bring healing to them and they won't let Judas drive them away from Jesus, so to speak. But on the other hand, other people are leaving because they're already attached to the world in a way that's spiritually unhealthy. And they're lukewarm, they're compromised. They're already living a set of values that are inconsistent with the revelation of our Lord, with his commandments. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if we don't keep his commandments, what we do is we fall into the kind of thing we've been describing this week of greater degrees of kind of enslavement, the darkening of our minds. So you have Catholics boldly standing up and marching to kill babies, for example, or boldly saying the deconstruction of family is important because family, the nuclear family, is a patriarchal structure. God created the family. They're warring against what God created. Not just bad ways of living that out, which when people don't live it out right, it should be corrected. But the principle of the thing, or living lifestyles that are offensive to God and people saying, no, this is good. This is good. People not believing in the Eucharist, people not going to confession anymore, don't even think they need to be forgiven of anything. So there's just a whole reality that's present in people's lives. And then now, when the church has to stand at a time when the world, the culture is standing against what the church believes about God and about what's good and what's true and what's moral, the governments of the world, the cultures of the world, they're starting to come after the church and reject openly what the church stands for. That makes it hard to be in the church. So people who aren't tied to the vine and they're just barely hanging on, they'll easily walk away, because they don't want to pay the price. They don't have the conviction to pay the price because they allowed their hearts to get into a place of lacking conviction, of being lukewarm, of being in a place of compromise. So God the Father, at a certain point, cuts them off and throws them away. They're dead branches. That's not pruning. That's cutting off dead branches in particular. But he also does prune good, healthy branches so that they produce even more fruit. That's another issue, another theme that we can talk about on another day. But to end the week here, it's important to say, okay, yes, the judgments of God are real. And clearly through the circumstances of what we're seeing, the empty futility of a darkened mind that's emerging in the culture, people calling good evil, evil good. That's part, friends, when you see that happening, when you see human beings losing hold of reality, when you read like 40% of little children in American schools think they're trans, when you see people standing up and saying, like Governor Cuomo's daughter did, you know, when I was in elementary school, I thought I was a lesbian. Then I thought junior high I was bisexual. Then when I got to high school, I thought I was pansexual. Then now that I'm in my 20s, I think I'm demisexual. And I've been declaring this all along in my life. The idea that we actually create this ourselves, that we're in charge, that adults affirm that kind of stuff in the lives of baptized and confirmed people, that's the judgment of God that's come. It really is. And it's God allowing people who are insisting on going their own way to walk in the futility and the consequences of their decisions. So they begin to experience that they come back. They experience the negativity of it, they come back. The Lord's shaking the earth and idols are dropping all over the place. Kings of the earth were boasting and pounding their chests, you know, that are seem to have so much power and influence, they're just dropping different places. The Lord loves them. He has to shake them and bring them down so that they repent and come to know him. I think I shared on the program years ago when the big producer in Hollywood, his name escapes me right now. I'm embarrassed about that. But anyway, his name escapes me, who was abusing women very clearly, using his power, his bad news guy. And he ended up in jail. And I remember it was like, there's something, yeah, he's getting his, you know, and I wasn't thinking at all about his eternal destiny. And I felt the Lord say to me, like, have you shed a tear for him? Have you prayed for him once? I mean, you're enjoying dancing on his grave, but don't you know that I have brought this about in his life, the humiliation, the time in jail, to give him a chance to repent, to come to terms with the pride and the arrogance and the perversion in his life, and the harm that he did to people, and to humble himself and to be able to turn back to God. Peter, did you even say one prayer for him? And I was ashamed before the Lord. No, I didn't, Lord. And you know, honestly, I didn't care about him. So Lord, forgive me. I don't have your heart. You love him. You died for him, didn't you? And that matters to the Lord, that we align ourselves with his leadership. And when the shaking happens and stuff like this, understand God wants us praying not only for ourselves and our loved ones, but for people in the world. So the last few minutes of the week here, I thought it'd be helpful to say, okay, God's judgments are there. He's trying to get our attention to lead us to repentance. How do we exercise it? There's a beautiful passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It reads like this. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. This is the only shot that America has, the world has. It's right here. To get out of the mess, that the course that we're on right now, friends, it needs to be reversed, and that reversal at its core is repentance and turning back to our Creator and giving to God what belongs to God. So here again are the elements of this passage. So it starts where? With my people. It starts with the people of God coming to terms as, where are we at? Honestly. I had a story the other day of a guy who was Catholic, got married to a wonderful Catholic woman, married for 10 years, he decides that he's trans, but also wants to stay married to his wife, and he wants to raise his kids, and he wants to keep having relations with his wife, but he wants to, whenever he's in public, he wants to dress as a woman. Now, a person in that position has real problems and needs help. But people sometimes in the position can say, no, I don't really need help. This is who I am. This is what I want to do. Now, if you're a disciple, if you're a follower of Jesus, first of all, it should never surprise us when the world acts worldly. But when someone who calls themselves a Catholic and a disciple decides that this is a good thing and have to situate their life in that way, they're missing something really, really important. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, here's the terms of the relationship. You must deny yourself. What does that mean? Deny the relationship you have to yourself to determine what you think is right, what pleases you. You're dead now. You're a dead man. The old man is gone. All the demands of the flesh, all the demands of the deep desires, anything at all that's inconsistent with the Lord, it's gone. Now, doesn't mean you don't feel it. But my relationship to those things, my paying attention to those things, my nurturing and nursing those things in myself and trying to get others to kind of collude with my own desires, that's got to die. So Jesus said, you got to deny that and take up your cross. That is what? Two things. The pain of saying no to yourself. We've got to do violence in a healthy way, as Scripture talks about it, spiritual violence. We have to come against the demands of the deep, deep desires in us that are clamoring for attention and want to get released, want us to agree with them and start living according to them. There's only one question for a real disciple. What pleases the Lord? I don't care what your desires are. I don't care what my desires are. This is how I've tried to live myself. Thank God for the people who've helped me do that. I have real serious desires I've had in my life. Some had led me before into serious trouble and caused me to stumble even after I started following the Lord. He said, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. So we, through the help of the Spirit and the superior pleasures of knowing God, we have the heart and the strength and the resources to subdue that. So deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Pay attention to Jesus. Make it your aim to please the Lord. And don't expect your desires and emotions to tell you who you are. Expect God to tell you who you are. St. Francis said, God, who are you and who am I? So this prayer, again, it begins with the cry of the heart of the people of God, those who are called by his name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. We follow him who humbled himself, became obedient even unto death, doing the last thing he probably felt like he wanted to do. Father, let this cup pass from me. This is so hard. Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Friends, it's time to get real as disciples. And then he said, how do I do this now? Humble yourself, just like Jesus did on the cross. And then pray and seek his face. Listen to him. Stop listening to all your own desires. Listen to him. Seek his face. And then turn from your wicked ways. Then, he says, with a promise. It's a conditional statement. It's an if-then. If my people do this, then I will do that. I will hear from heaven. Wow, think about that. God will hear us. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. He'll take away the sin. He won't count it against us. But if we cling to our sin and we identify with our sin, we will die in our sin. So Jesus is fighting hard to disconnect us from our sinful patterns of life and come into agreement with him so we might be saved. God bless you, friends. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.